your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 1226, beginning with verse 25, we'll read responsively through verse 31. Once more, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 25 through verse 31, and that's page 1226 in your Scofield Bible. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of this passage, please. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did not put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? And then let's read together the text verse for this morning's message, verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. This is a precious and wonderful opportunity. We get to hear your word preached again. There are a lot of us who hunger for this hour. Thank you for that which you do for us in giving us not only a man of God, but a message from thee to be preached to us by our preacher. Help us to hang on every word. Help us to be alert. Help our hearts to be open to that which you want to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was thinking as they were singing, we ought to use the methods tested by time. We ought to use the music tested by time. I promise you that much of the music we hear today will be forgotten totally in 15, 20 years. But I promise you this, as long as the English language is spoken and this world lasts, people will sing, I need thee every hour, and Jesus is what I need. This morning, I'm going to bring the message that I planned to bring last Sunday morning, but since you weren't here, I decided to hold it off till this week. I understand that both of you were here last week, had a wonderful time, and I started to title the sermon, The Secret to Life, but that is so bland, I changed it to the best way to live life. And that's also sort of bland. And so I'll give you the title in a few minutes, as soon as I think of it. The apostle said, I die daily. He didn't say I die weekly, I die monthly, or I die annually. He said, I die daily. I hope you'll listen to me. This is a New Year's message. I hope you'll listen. Father, help me as I speak, and our dear people as they listen. And may today we grasp a simple yet profound truth, for simplicity, profundity is always simple. And may we grasp it today, and may it affect us in 1999. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, Mrs. Hiles and I were at the Mayo Clinic. We stayed in a hotel that is connected to the clinic. You go down to a underground subway. That makes me hungry all of a sudden. So let's stand for our closing prayer, please. But I went down underground subway, and from that subway, by the way, is a subway that is finished and very attractive. we can go down to the subway and then go from the hotel to the clinic. Listen to me. We stayed in a hotel there on the eighth floor, which is called a concierge floor. Now, you pay a little extra for that because you get something extra. They have a little room down at the end of the hallway called, what's it called, concierge room? I call it the grub room, the food room. You can eat breakfast down there. Not a hot breakfast, but you can have fruit and bagels and sweet rolls and cereal and coffee and so forth. And then in the evening time, they put, not the big meal, but they'll have a couple of little snacks like maybe nachos or something like that. And then they'll have some cheese and nuts and so forth. Personally, I'd rather go down to the subway. But we enjoyed going down to that little room. It was on New Year's Day. I'd flown back up to Mayo Clinic to be with Mrs. Hiles on New Year's Day. I was supposed to get there about 10 o'clock in the morning and get there at about 2:30 in the afternoon because of the weather and so forth at the airport. But I walked in, and the little lady there who works in the concierge room, a very faithful little gal, little southern gal in Atlanta, Georgia, that's been living now in Rochester, Minnesota. And so I walked in, and the first thing she said was, "Happy New Year." And she was a very delightful person, and so I winked at her. I spoke to her. And so I said, "Thank you. Happy New Year to you." And then she said, "Have you made your New Year's resolutions yet?" And I said, "Ma'am, when you live like I've lived last year, you don't have to make any resolutions this year." I said, "Resolutions are for you sinners." And, of course, she laughed a bit, you know. Then she said, "Did I overhear you the other day to say to your wife that you're 72 years old?" And I said, "I don't know whether you overheard it or not." "I don't know what you overheard." I said, "I said it. Now, you'll have to answer whether you overheard it or not. I'm 72 years old." And she said, very kindly, she said, "You're one of the happiest men that's ever been up here on this floor." She said, "How can a man 72 years old be happy?" And I got thinking about that. I don't know. And to be quite frank with you, I feel terrible now. But I cut up a little bit and then went down to the room and so forth. Next morning, I got up, went down to the concierge room alone to get some coffee and bring it back to the room. We don't run without coffee. Coffee is as important to us as gas. Sorry, Dr. Cal, Streeter over there, but you're not perfect either. And nobody's perfect. Somebody said the other day, said, "Don't you practice what you preach?" I said, "Did you ever try that?" But anyway, I didn't drink it, Dr. Cal. I took it back to Miss Hiles. And so it was, now this is January 2nd. Well, yesterday she had said, "Happy New Year. Have you made your resolutions yet for the year?" So I walked down the hallway, and there she was again. And I said, "Happy New Day." She said, "What?" I said, "Have you made your resolutions for today?" "Happy New Day." That's the title of my sermon. Happy New Day. If I could, I would change baseball. Here's what I'd do. I wouldn't make it. Nobody would win a championship. Every game would be its own. You'd go to see a game and see somebody win the game. I would also change baseball, not to the final score, but how many innings you win. I would say when the first inning is over, then you give 1 point to the team that made the most runs that inning. So the highest score you could have would be 9-0 or 5-4. It always total no more than 9. That way if you got 15 runs behind the next inning, you could win the inning. If I could change football, I would make it by quarters. In other words, you win a quarter and then start all over again. And another quarter. I'm talking about gambling now, about winning a quarter. I saw Bob O'Clair grinning over there. His address is Casino, Indiana. But But I'd make it by quarters. In other words, when the quarter was over, if you're behind 14 to nothing, okay, you don't have to catch up. You start over and have another quarter. Or if I could change basketball, the NBA, I would disband the crazy thing. Let those rich people work for a living. But anyway, I'd do the same thing that I do for football. It'd be by quarters, which means that you could not get hopelessly behind. You may lose the first quarter 35 to nothing, but you can come around and start again and win the next quarter. In golf, for example, this is a sports sermon this morning. This is a, what do you call it, a sports restaurant? Anyway, if I could, I like in golf, I like what they call match play. Match play, you play a hole, and whoever wins gets a point. You play the next hole. And so it's not a fella could shoot a 75 and beat a fella that shot a 70 if he won more holes. That way, you wouldn't get hopelessly behind. Our son Dave and I used to go to see the Cubs back in the days. Back in the days when they didn't win, I went back. That's all the days. But we went to see the Cubs one time, and the Cubs were hopelessly in last place, so far behind they couldn't even see the team ahead of them. And so we walked in, and Dave said, "Dad, why do we come here?" And I said, "Because you're supposed to take your boy to a ball game. That's why." He said, "Dad," he said, "the Cubs are in last place, and they're going to stay there." Oh, I said, "No, they're not. No, they're tied for first." For you see, son, we didn't come to see a season. We came to see a game. That's why I like our high school basketball schedule. We don't belong to a league. We have no championship to win. We win a game. If we lose a game, then we expel all the guys from school. But if we lose a game, the next game, the game is a unit in itself. So you can enjoy the game. And that's, you ever know, the thing about this, there are 1,260, approximately 1,260 players in the National Football League. 1,215 into the season unhappily. You know why? Because only one team can win. And I could tell you how. That of the 1,200 and, I lost it here, 60 players, I could tell you how 625 end a season happily. If a season were a game. And that's one reason why I don't go to watch the Cubs, I don't go watch the Bulls, I don't go watch the Bears, the Elephants, or the Lions, or the Tigers. I like to drive down, the other day, I was driving down the street over here in someplace, near Dalton. And it's a little town south of Dalton. Yeah, South Holland. And I saw a couple teams playing ball. Obviously, they're high school boys. I just pulled over beside the road, sat there and watched the game. Now, that's what sports is all about. Sports weren't made to make millionaires who strike and bargain. Sports were made to enjoy a game. Now, so I stopped and watched the game. Now, hey, that's how I live life. One day at a time. Happy New Day. I said to the little lady, she said, "What'd you say?" I said, "Happy New Day." And she said, "You mean Happy New Year?" I said, "No, ma'am, Happy New Day. Have you made your resolutions for today yet?" And she said, "Isn't that sort of odd?" I said, "You ask why I'm 72 and happy." I said, I'm not living a life. I'm living a day. I'm not living a year. I am living a day. See, life consists of one day. Somebody said, "Brother House, you've been here almost 40 years. No, I haven't. I've been here 14,368 days. And each day is a microcosm of life. Now, if you want to have a happy life in 1999, don't you live a year, you live a day. Let the morning time be your birth. Let the coffee time be when you start breathing. But let the morning be your youth. Let the afternoon be your middle years. Let the evening be your senior years. And then let going to sleep be when you die. Then get up the next morning and live another new life." I'm saying the secret, I probably shouldn't say this, but it's one of the things I shouldn't say. I say that one more's not going to hurt anything. But Mrs. Hiles and I, well, she's approaching her 40th birthday. She's had 30 of them. But we were sitting at the table the other day, and I apologize for saying this, sweetheart, but I want to say it without altar or not. We're sitting at the table, and by the way, that woman right there is the funniest person. I Love Lucy is second place to that gal right there. She is hardly ever downcast. I mean, at 2 o'clock in the morning, she has some of her best jokes. I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know a person that's more fun to be around. But the other day we were sitting at the table, and she was quiet. And I said, is something wrong? Of course, I've been out all night the night before. That may have been it. I don't know. But she said, is something wrong? And I said, is something wrong. One of us said, is something wrong? And the one that didn't say, is something wrong, said this. Ms. Hiles said, something like this. I may misquote her, but if I do, it's because it'll sound better. She said something like this. She said, I'm just wondering how many years we'll have to enjoy each other. She said, I'm approaching my beep birthday. And she said, I'm just wondering how many years we'll have to enjoy each other. And I went to her. And I said, sweetheart, I know we're getting older, and I know I'm 72 and you're almost 40. But I said, I live one day at a time. We have today. We know we have today. And by the way, I said, we do not know who's going to pass away before we do, or who's going to be incapacitated before we are. And I said, the honest truth is, we have today. Let's live today. And tomorrow, let's live tomorrow. And that's why I'm happy. I don't even think about tomorrow. I don't think about Happy New Day. Not Happy New Year. Happy New Day. Get up in the morning and make a resolution. I carry in my pocket right here. This is a new card. I carry in my pocket right here. It says January 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. What is that? For years now, I have carried a little card. I make a new one every January, and I write down every date, and every day that I have been good to Mrs. Hiles, as I think I should be, I leave it, just leave the number there. If I feel like I've treated her, maybe she had not been as careful, caring about her as I should have been, I circled that day. In 1997, I had 13 bad days. We disagree. She said 113, I circled 13 days. In 1999, I circled 8 bad days, which means I'm getting better. Her husband's getting better all the time. I'm getting better. Now, I was saving up those last 5 days, 13 bad ones in 97, and I had 8 bad ones through November, and I told her, I'm saving these for the last 5 days a year, and you're going to get it the last 5 days a year. But the crazy gal got sick and went to the Mayo Clinic, and I had to be good to her. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm not trying. I have not resolved I'm going to be a good husband this year. I've resolved I'm going to be a good husband this day. Paul said, I die daily, not monthly, not annually. I die daily. Now, take every year, every day, as a unit of its own, as a microcosm of life, and make your resolutions for that day and live today. Who knows? Who knows who's going to be here tomorrow? But bless God, we're here today. Life consists of one day. A day is a microcosm of life. I have as much time today as you folks have. We're 30 years old. And that's all you have is today. I am not trying to win in life. I'm trying to win today. I'm not trying to win a championship. I'm trying to win a game. Psalm 119, 135. Order thou my steps.
David did not say, order thou my path out yonder. And by the way, some of you college students might be a lot better off if you try to get busy for God today and forget something about out yonder future somewhere. Oh, can I find the will of God for my life? Yeah, go soul winning today. Yeah, read your Bible today. Yeah, live a decent life today. Yeah, study hard today. I'm simply saying, the psalmist said, order thou my step, the next step. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. That comes before a light under my path. And if you want to have a happy 1999, you just take one day at a time and live one day at a time. And, for example, I'm not trying to live a dedicated life. I'm trying to live a dedicated day. I'm not trying to conquer sin in life. I'm trying to conquer sin today. If you have some sin in your life, don't you walk down the aisle and say, dear God, help me to give it up and help, dear God, I give it up. No, don't say that. You get up in the morning and say, God, you give me the victory today. I'm not going to smoke a cigarette today. Forget about tomorrow. So tomorrow is today. Jesus is not the I will be God or the I was God. I used to be God. I'm going to be God. He's the I am. You conquer sin today. You little ladies struggling to rear a family by yourself, do it today. Oh, how can I rear these children? You don't have to rear them. All you've got to do is make it through today. I'm not trying to live a victorious life. I'm trying to live a victorious day. I'm not trying to have a successful life. I'm trying to have a successful day. I'm not trying to finish the course. I'm trying to finish today. That's why I'm happy. Roy, I'm as young as you are. I got 24 hours a day. That's all you got. So I'm not going to, how long have I got? I don't know how long I got. Well, you know how long you got either. And the way you look, you'll die before I do. JoJo doesn't kid you first. Now, what I'm trying to say, folks, is the Apostle Paul said, I die every day. What's it mean? Paul said, I crucify myself every day. I get strength for today. Strength for today is mine all the way and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Ladies and gentlemen, in 1999, don't you live a year. You live 365 days. That means if you lose today, start a new day tomorrow. Used to, years ago, I preached revival meetings a lot. Evangelistic crusades. I'd go somewhere and preach every night for 2 weeks. But I never preached an evangelistic crusade. I preached the service. I wasn't preaching a revival. I was preaching a service. On Monday night, it was not the first of 14 nights. It was the only night. It was a service. Each one, a little unit to itself. You know the story. Often I've told it. The lady in Texas, our church in Garland, had a little boy, and she had to rear that boy by herself. Her husband had deserted her, and suddenly she became ill. She had some tests made, and the doctor said, you have cancer. Back in those days, they didn't have all the things to fight cancer they have today. The doctor said, you have just a few weeks to live. She went home. She put that little boy, just a little tyke, on the floor. She got on her knees, and she said, dear God, I can't die today. I can't do it. I've got to be my boy today. Now tomorrow, I'll take it up with you again. I love that. I can't die today. I've got to live today, so I'm not going to die today. The next day, she got that little boy on the floor. She knelt over that little boy, and she said, God, I've got to rear this boy today. I've got to cook 3 meals for him. I've got to clean the house for him. I've got to take him to school. I've got to take care of him today. Dear God, I'm not going to die today. By the way, the last I heard, she was still alive. Why? I don't know why. She lived every day for today. Ladies and gentlemen, take every day you've got and squeeze all of it you can. And praise God, you got today.
This is what makes everything happening to me. This is the only... I'm standing right here. A couple is here. I say to myself, you wonder what I'm thinking about while you're out there in the rides walking around down the aisle and so forth. I say, every wedding, this is the only wedding I will ever perform. It's a happening. So, I am going to give it, I don't care if it's Brother Bordway's daughter or some little old bus kid that grew up here riding the bus to church, she'll tell you every wedding is just as important as the other. Why? Because every wedding is the only wedding I'll ever perform. I'm not living for yesterday. I'm not living for tomorrow. I'm living for today. That's why every funeral I conduct is the only funeral I'll ever conduct. Every sermon I preach is the only sermon I'll ever preach. I'm not looking forward to some big meeting. I'm not looking forward to preaching at pastor schools. Brother, this is it to me. Right now. Today. Right now. I may not live to pastor school. Bless God. I'm alive today. And today, I'm going to give it all I've got. You take every day when it comes and get up in the morning and say, thank God, I've got today. I don't know how long I'll have, but nobody else does either. I've got today. And I'm going to live it, squeeze every bit of joy and an opportunity and service I can because I have today to live. This is why every ordination service I conduct is the only one I'll ever conduct. This is why every counseling session I have is the only one I'll ever have. I get on my knees before people walk in my office yesterday, counsel much of the day, before everybody came in my office, I got on my knees behind my desk and said, dear God, I'll be holding somebody's life in my hands. You've got to help me. Not just another counseling session, but today's counseling session. And that's why everyone is the only one I'll ever have. So Mrs. Hiles and I had a little talk. And I said, I don't think about how long I have left. I think about I have today. And by the way, you talk about fun. And last night, I bathe every night. I wish you did. But I bathe every night. But sometimes on Saturday night, Ms. Howells is usually in bed and I get home. And sometimes on Saturday night, I try to fool her. I turn the shower, I always shower. I turn the shower on, but I don't get in it. I want her to hear it running. So I turn the shower on. And as long as I think it takes to take a shower, I just brush my teeth, wash up a little bit, call in bed. Last night, I thought, well, I'll just turn the lavatory faucet real loud. I kept that lavatory faucet running about 10 minutes. I crawled in bed. Miss Hiles said, I am, Madam what? She says, I am Madam Christine. I am a fortune teller. We're talking. She's been in bed 2 hours. I am Madame Christine. I am a fortune teller. I said, she said, would you like me to tell your fortune, sir? I said, yeah. She said, sir, you didn't bathe tonight. I mean, we have more fun during the night than you have at noontime, just cutting up. You know why? Because we live what I'm preaching right now. Except every once in a while, one of us has a little relapse. And there's a little quietness. And I'll say, is something wrong? And she'll say, I'm a little bit blue. Once a year, maybe. Why? Because I wonder how long we'll have to enjoy each other. Now, folks, there's not, if I would stop and think about that, suppose I said this, I wonder too. You're looking at me like I'm going to get it and I get home. I don't know. Don't you believe that I'm going to have for lunch Harper Jr. minus mayonnaise plus mustard? But I said, and I said again, and I've said again. I said to myself often, I don't know how long I'll have to pastor this church. And every once in a while I'll cross over the line and I'll think about that. And then it'll dawn on me, I'm pastor today. And I'll see the great crowd as you walk out after a while, after the benediction. And I'll watch you as you walk out. And I'll say, thank God, today I am pastor of the greatest church in the world. And I'm not going to sit here and lament and cry, have a pity party, because I don't know how many tomorrows I have. I just know I have today. Happy New Day, everybody. Happy New Day, everybody. Happy New Day, everybody. Make your New Day's resolutions. And that's the way to live in 1999. Our Heavenly Father,